Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this Friday, October 26, 2012, on KVOI AM 1030, Tucson's intelligent voice. Hope you are having a great day. Looking forward to a wonderful weekend. Wasn't it nice? The overnight lows actually dipping into the upper 40s for the first time this season. I am Bill Buckmaster, and we thank you very much for choosing our program. We are live Monday through Friday, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI. We're streaming our show live at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. The show is available anytime, anywhere by listening at buckmastershow.com. TucsonCitizen.com has our show posted there, as does TucsonSentinel.com. And there are also links now to the Buckmaster Show at gvnews.com. That's the homepage for the Green Valley News and Sojourita Sun, and blogforarizona.com, the website for Blog for Arizona. Our Friday Focus interview today is with Reverend Dr. Robin Hoover, who was the founder and the first president of the Tucson-based Humane Borders, a social welfare corporation providing humanitarian assistance to migrants crossing the Mexico-U.S. border in Arizona. The former pastor of First Christian Church here in Tucson, Dr. Hoover has been an advocate for major changes in U.S. immigration and migration policies. He is currently in Texas conducting research on the status of migrants forcibly returned to Mexico, and he joins us now on the Buckmaster Show live line. Reverend Hoover, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Bill. Glad to be with you again. Thank
you very much. Joining me to question Reverend Hoover, Jimmy Bogle, editor of the Tucson Weekly, and Mark B. Evans, administrator of TucsonCitizen.com. TucsonCitizen.com is owned by the Gannett Corporation. It is a community of bloggers. If you have a question or comment for Reverend Hoover, you can call the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040. Our Friday Focus interview on the Buckmaster Show is presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community for adults 55 and better. Their annual Showcase of Homes event is coming up on Tuesday, starting at 9 a.m. Please RSVP and say you heard about it here on the Buckmaster Show by calling 762-4090, 762-4090, or visit SplendidoTucson.com. Now let's get on with our Friday Focus interview with Reverend Hoover. It's interesting, in the three presidential debates, Reverend Hoover, 50 or 60,000 words were spoken during those three debates, and I don't recall immigration or immigration policy being at least one of those words or two of them.
This is so falling off the screen, it's amazing to me, and one could also say that there was only a handful of words spoken about Latin America at all, so it's just not the issue it was.
Yeah, and China was talked about a lot, even Mali in Africa. But again, Mexico not being talked about. Tell us why you think this issue, as you say, has really fallen off the radar screen.
Immigration and migration policy, perhaps is a better phrase, just is not a left-right politics. It never has been. You can find people on either side making a lot of hay about it, and they can raise funds to support their position in Congress or whatever, but basically it's not a left-right politics. It's we've only had substantial immigration reform, and we've had bipartisan efforts, et cetera. If I take the Republican Party, I can slice it down the middle, and I've got the Wall Street Journal types calling for open borders. It's the largest open borders crowd in the United States because they want a flat labor market. The Wall Street Journal calls for open borders on July 4th editorial every year for over 30 years now, I guess. Then you have red state Main Street Republicans, and they don't want any unfair competition, don't want somebody speaking Spanish in the grocery line, that sort of a thing. So there's a party that's divided. The Democrats are divided. There are some people out here that are in the sort of the wacko side of the environmental movement that think people are trash, close the door. There's folks that don't want to disturb traditional labor relations as it exists, labor organizations, so they're against it. And yet there are other labor movements, as Service Employees International Union, for instance, that's all for doing immigration reform. So the parties are divided. The academy is divided. Faith groups are divided. Businesses are divided. So it's going to require some new alignments to actually further a conversation.
Here's Jimmy Bogle, Reverend Hoover from the Tucson Weekly. Jimmy's the editor there. Go ahead, Jimmy.
It's good to talk to you again, Reverend Hoover.
Hey, good to see you again.
It's been a while. You have, of all the people that I've talked to about immigration, and trust me, I've talked to a lot of people, many of them angry, as you can imagine, you have one of the best plans that I've heard of in terms of a proposal to – yeah, Jim Nintzel did a story about it a couple years ago on the Tucson Weeklys, in fact. Do you want to kind of in a brief way explain to the listeners what that proposal is? Because I think it's pretty awesome myself. So.
Very short list. If I walk into any lecture hall in the United States and say, how many of you want national security? The hands go up. How many of you want to stabilize labor? The hands go up. How many of you want to expand some rights, human rights? And they sort of go up. How many of you want less political noise? So everybody sort of has an agenda out here that they agree with. And in order to get these kinds of issues addressed, we need to provide a status for the people that are here, give them some identification. You shouldn't be working out here without papers. We need to know who you are and do background checks. That enhances our national security. We didn't get this way overnight. We're not going to solve it overnight. So we need to start giving out visas to folks that are here undocumented. You know, when they say, what part of legal don't you understand? So, okay, fine, if that's the issue, I'm going to give you a legal status. We're going to clean this part up. And then if you want to get in the citizenship line, you go get in the citizenship line. Turns out a lot of these people don't want to. They just simply want to be here for an extended period of time, go home. So we could allow some attrition there. Instead of self-deporting, we could just sort of start cleaning things up. Probably the most characteristic piece that I have contributed to the conversation was exempting Mexico in particular, and probably two or three other countries in Central America, from the worldwide quota of visas, allowing those countries to pre-screen people according to skills, knowledge, ability, English proficiency, all their preparations for working here, allow labor and syndicates to work on both sides of the border to prepare workers, etc. And then, so this person has a visa, they come through the port of entry, they use public transportation, they don't tear up the desert, they don't die in our desert, they don't cause egregious violations, etc. So now, and they have the visa, and they can go up and down the street and get work, just like a high-tech worker can already. Basically, some of the insights that I've had just come from some of the other visas that we already have in place. You put up a bond or some sort of money, an account with the IRS, and we take an extra ten percent of what you make over the next 2 years and put it towards that same account. You can't touch it. And so for the first time in U.S. immigration law history, you would have an economic incentive to comply with the terms of your visa. You pick up your money, you go home. If you don't, that money is forfeited, and using Pew Hispanic numbers, on average, you would have about $8,000 in the kitty. And for $8,000, and I'll let you use the internet and buy a car or do anything else you want to do, participate in our economy, I can Google you and find you, and that basically is a bounty on your head. So we're going to use your money to hunt you down instead of the Border Patrol.
Reverend Hoover, I want to bring in Mark Evans now from TucsonCitizen.com. Go ahead, Mark.
Reverend, thanks for being here today.
Thank you.
Hey, the polls show that Americans agree with some version of the plan you just described at almost a 2-to-1 basis. And yet,
that's correct.
And yet a vehement and vocal opposition to illegal immigration has been able to dominate the political debate. And try to force an enforcement only position, and they've been good enough. They've been so successful. They've been able to flip people such as Jeff Flake, who's running for Senate. He was for immigration until he started to run for Senate, or immigration reform until he started to run for Senate. Now he's enforcement only. What do you think's at work there? Why is the political solution so hard to reach when Americans seem to support the opposite of enforcement only.
It's just like running for a primary in an election. You run to the extreme side of your party or your group or your association, whatever it is, your base, before you can ever come back. And people simply right now are not making the turn to come back to the middle. I was most recently in New York on a 10-day speaking tour, and I did 8 university venues, and I met with labor leaders and faith leaders there in New York City. Of course, there are many there, so I don't pretend to be this is, you know, typical response. But I met with some labor leaders, and I said, "You don't understand. Your most natural allies for immigration reform are right down here on Wall Street. And anybody that's ever done community development or tried to put together groups realize that you don't have permanent enemies and permanent friends." And these labor leaders just screamed and yelled at me, "We have permanent enemies," you know, ideologically just diametrically opposed to having a conversation with these people, even though I can show them that they're working towards the same end. So we really have to have a realignment in some of the traditional players before there can be a conversation, and that's why I think it's a kind of a joke for Obama to have been talking about getting immigration reform in his second term, because these conversations are not taking place, and there's not a political leader in Arizona or in the United States around whom we're going to rally.
Do you think the primary system might be part of the problem?
Oh, yeah, I think that the primary system in some regards has polarized our politics in the United States, because you have to run to the base to get the dollars.
Reverend Hoover, we're going to take a break right here. Please
stay
with us. We're going to hear from the Buckmaster Show sponsors, the people who support our program, and we thank them for that. And please support these people. Reverend Robin Hoover is on the Buckmaster Show. He's our Friday Focus interview. It continues as we talk about immigration and why that issue is nowhere to be seen in this election cycle.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable rugs looking like new with Arizona's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration. Karimi specializes in restoring antique silk and Navajo rugs with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at East Fort Lowland Dodge and say hello to owner-operator Amir Karimi. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. It's KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has 2 locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing: people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
There are 1 million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have 1 million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
My name is Mark Layton, and I'm the IT guy over at O'Neill Printing. In order to serve my Tucson clients, I've got to be able to quickly receive files up to 10 gigs in size. That's why we made the switch to Cox Business. We used to have an internet connection that could barely handle more than 2 file uploads at a time. With Cox Business, our connection is 10 times faster, and our bill is 40% less. Now that's what I call a no-brainer.
Get to know the business side of Cox at coxbusinessaz.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show at 1221. Reverend Robin Hoover, the founder of Humane Borders, is our Friday Focus interview. Jimmy Bogle is here from The Weekly and Mark Evans from TucsonCitizen.com. Reverend Hoover, the number of arrests of illegal immigrants along the Tucson, the Arizona border, really at a many-year low. However, the deaths in the desert continues to just have a staggering toll. And I know you've been working on these personal location beacons where they're for one-time use. They're activated only once. First of all, your explanation about arrests being way down, deaths way up.
Every single thing that has been done to increase apprehensions or to get operational control of the border, if you will, whether it's more horses, more fencing, more surveillance, radar, personnel, boots on the ground, sensors, anything that you can dream up is directly correlated with an increase in deaths. The migrants start their walks, so they walk farther in Mexico before they cross. They start their walks in more treacherous terrain. The death locations are farther away from roads today than they ever have been. They're walking in horrible terrain. So the deaths are up. I mean, they did the Secure Border Initiative a long time ago and tried to do some of the safety initiatives. And these things have not worked. You know, this is an utterly failed policy. On May 1st, I did 15 minutes on C-SPAN Live, and I basically made the case, and I believe it to be true, that death is now a permanent fixture and part of our policy, that we like to have the death so that maybe that's some sort of a deterrence or something of that nature. It shows that we're out there doing our job.
Here's Jimmy Bogle.
I hate to go that way, but yeah, I think it's a permanent fixture. We had 171 deaths.
And that's just way too many. Let's talk about going back to, unfortunately, politics a little bit. Of course, it came out this week that in an off-the-record interview that was made on the record, President Obama talked about trying to tackle, as you alluded to earlier, immigration policy. What do you think the chances are of having anything meaningful happen within the next 4 years, regardless of who's elected?
4 or 5%. I mean, you know, I'm in the hope business. I'm not optimistic, and I think it's a little bit disingenuous for a president that has deported as many people as he has and shown as little support for this concept as he has and used the staff appointments that he's made to say he's really behind this. I really do not see it. I don't think he has any credibility on the issue, and it's no secret I'm a yellow dog Democrat, so I just don't I don't see it.
Do you think Mitt Romney would do anything different or better?
No, not particularly. I think he has taken such harsh statements, and the Republican Party is so polarized on this particular issue. There are extreme people that take positions far to my right, far to my left, actually. And so I don't see it happening.
Here's Mark.
It's just not on the radar.
Here's Mark Evans now with Reverend Hoover.
Reverend, as an expert on immigration, maybe you can answer this question for me. It's something I've always been curious about, is why Arizona is the illegal immigration superhighway. The conventional wisdom has been that in the 80s and the 90s, they squeezed the balloon, the Border Patrol in California and Texas, and it forced everybody to Arizona. But that may have been true in the 90s, but it has remained the superhighway through the last decade, even though it's such an arduous journey. And it's always been curious to me why Texas isn't the bigger immigration corridor, because it has a much bigger border. It has much bigger cities on its border. It has two major train lines going there. It's closer to the centers of poverty in southern Mexico. What is it about Arizona that makes them keep coming here and trying to get across here rather than at Laredo or Brownsville or Juarez?
Well, there are attempts to cross all along the border, and you are right to go back to the 90s. In August of 93, a Southwest Border Strategy policy was signed by Doris Meisner. And even then, they estimated large numbers of deaths in that policy report, position paper that they took. And we far exceeded that. They did squeeze people over this direction. The reason it's been sustained is incredible infrastructure has been put in place in Sonora. The lands in Arizona make themselves amenable to smuggling because there's less infrastructure, roads, et cetera, for there to be. There's so much public land out there that the Border Patrol doesn't have the access to do the things that they would be doing, although they're carving away at that. And then finally, I have to make an observation that gets me in a lot of trouble, but there's no secret to the fact that almost one-fourth of the migrant deaths occur every year out on the Tonawatam Indian Nation lands, and the reason why is there's huge infrastructure and support for smuggling of people and drugs and vehicles and everything else across the border in both directions, across the 76 miles that are contiguous with Mexico of the Autumn lands. And, you know, I've actually been in Altar, Sonora, and observed members of the Autumn Nation making connections with smugglers as to who's going to do what, where, and when. So I've observed it firsthand, so there's no secret about it. You have an infrastructure out there, and you have a Border Patrol and a judiciary that's just not going to prosecute the Autumn anywhere near as often as you would in a state jurisdiction.
Got about 2 minutes to go, Reverend Hoover. And the Tucson sector, the Border Patrol's Tucson sector, has become a revolving door. As you know, in early October, Richard Barlow became the third consecutive sector chief to leave the post after less than 1 year. What is going on there? Why so little stability?
That's the evidence of how conflicted these policies are. And when somebody comes in here and wants to be a hard nose, and God, over here where I live in Texas, you have to be a sworn peace officer before you can put on any kind of badge and serve anybody. I wish the Border Patrol agents kind of had a more peaceful background and orientation than they do, because they're geared up as if we're at war. And if you use FBI stats, border, even in Arizona, is actually safer for residents than it's been in a long time. It's not safe for migrants, but it's safer for residents. Things are not exactly as they seem. I will not miss Mr. Barlow. Mr. Barlow tried to reach out to some of the migrant safety humanitarian groups, and then the next thing he did was send an undercover agent in to film one of the meetings that I held, and an agent wouldn't identify himself when I was asking who he was. So he was later outed by Channel 4 there in Tucson. So I don't miss him. I don't know what the answer is, other than the fact that it is the largest sector, has the most unique set of problems, and so Washington thinks if you come out here and get that kind of experience, then we need you back. And so it probably goes back to the personality and wherewithal of whatever of David Aguilar, who's now the commissioner. So, you know, he spent time out here in Tucson.
Reverend Hoover, thank you very much. I know you're working on your memoirs. How's that coming?
Oh, things are going quite well. Okay. I've got a book. It's very far down the way.
Good. Book in the works. All right. Reverend Hoover, thank you for being with us. Have a great weekend.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. As Hurricane Sandy continues on a path toward the U.S. East Coast, it's left at least 39 people dead across the Caribbean. The storm is still more than 400 miles south-southeast of Charleston, South Carolina, with top winds that are just barely at hurricane strength. Mitt Romney says that new stimulus spending will not help the private sector any more than the stimulus did 4 years ago. Republican presidential candidate campaigning today in Iowa. An aide says Governor Romney will not be calling on Indiana Republican Senate candidate Richard Murdoch to pull TV ads featuring Romney's endorsement. Updating Wall Street, the Dow now about 46 points higher. The NASDAQ is up 11. The S&P trading 4 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchases, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 6 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, La Cañada from Ina to River, and Phase 2 of Saharita Road. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It is our Friday Reporters Roundtable on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Our local journalists sound off on the top stories of the week, and the roundtable guest today, Mark B. Like Boy Evans, administrator of TucsonCitizen.com, and Jimmy Bogle, editor of the Tucson Weekly. If you have a comment or want to join in, 790-2040, the Reporters Roundtable on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community for adults 55 and better. They're having their annual Showcase of Homes event. This gives you a great opportunity to check out the beautiful housing at Splendido. It's this Tuesday at 9 a.m. RSVP. Say you heard about it on the Buckmaster Show by calling 762-4090, 762-4090, or visit SplendidoTucson.com. Very interesting remarks from Reverend Hoover, Jimmy Bogle.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just kind of amazing how far immigration's fallen off the map. And, you know, I hate to say it, but I think I agree with them. And the chances of, you know, I mean, it's you never know how the election's going to go, but it looks like we're going to have, you know, whether Romney or Obama win, it's looking like it's probably going to be a Democratic Senate and a Republican House of Representatives. So it's not looking good for anything meaningful to get done. Meanwhile, dozens and dozens of people and hundreds of people are dying along the Arizona-Mexico border.
And Reverend Hoover, Mark Evans, says death is now built into the policy. That's his belief anyway.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's if they can continue to say that, hey, it's really hard to come across the border and you're going to die, don't do it. I mean, I could see how that could potentially be an unspoken policy of the Border Patrol. But I mean, it's the impacts of illegal immigration are far more than just the tragic deaths of the people trying to get across. We got to solve the problems because it has effects all across the country. That's just one of the many tragedies of our broken illegal immigration system.
U.S. Senate race in Arizona now has become a $20 million affair, and this is two more weeks to go before the election.
No. About 11 days.
Okay, 11 week weeks.
And a half. Yes, okay. we need that extra
days.
3 days, Bill.
11 days, yeah. So who's getting rich, Mark Evans?
TV stations are getting rich.
The local TV stations here in Tucson do not have to disclose, do they, how much political advertising?
No, there was a ruling, I think, by the Supreme Court, the FEC, that said that the TV stations, certain TV stations, had to disclose the political ad buys that they were getting, and some of them are mandated, some of them are not. The ones that aren't mandated can do it voluntarily, but nobody's volunteered. They don't want to tell the world how much money they're making. But I was looking at this yesterday, and some of the TV stations up in Phoenix are making millions of dollars over the last couple of months based on these ad buys, and that's only with reporting through September. The October reporting hasn't even come in yet.
Yeah, the one saving grace we've got here in Arizona is that this is not a swing state. I mean, for certain people of certain political –
Those poor people in Ohio.
Yes. Well, I actually – I visited my mom 2 weeks ago in Nevada, and holy cow, Nevada is a swing state. And, you know, you think the Carmona Flake ads are annoying and the Barbara McSally ads are annoying. The ads that are coming out in the presidential race. So that's the one blessing I can find in Arizona not exactly being a swing state. But yeah, I mean, we've got one of the most expensive Senate races. And actually, who'd have thunk that the Peyton Kirkpatrick race in CD1, a huge congressional district that kind of comes down all the way from Flagstaff down along the Utah border and takes in Marana and Saddlebrook and parts of Oro Valley. Who'd have thought that that would become one of the most expensive races? But that's happened because Ann Kirkpatrick, frankly, has pretty much had a meltdown in her campaign. And as a result, it's going to be a very, very close race, in a race that was originally thought to be a not safe Democrat, but safer than some.
And your paper, the Tucson Weekly, was actually used in an ad.
Yeah, we were. Who'd have thought that the liberal Tucson Weekly would be used so extensively in an RNCC ad that, from what I understand, is actually getting pretty heavy play? That actually came because the Kirkpatrick campaign did this just insane, terrible ad blaming Jonathan Payton for all of the Rio Nuevo misspending, which, you know, you can blame Jonathan Payton for certain things of being on a Rio Nuevo board that didn't want to do anything but sue. But when it came to all the part where all the money was being spent, undeniably, Jonathan Payton had nothing to do with that.
We actually worked to try and get it fixed
exactly.
The legislature.
We have to live with this, I guess, this huge spending. There's no end in sight. You kind of wrote – I think you did write about this editorialized in TucsonCitizen.com, Mark Evans.
Right. It's my problem with it is not the amount of money that's being spent. I don't want the government saying that, you know, this mission might be important to you and you might have a particular candidate that you like, but you're only allowed to spend this much money to make a donation to make that happen. I mean, that's interfering with your free speech rights. And as long as that Buckley v. Valeo decision is out there by the Supreme Court that equates money with speech, then money is speech. And so I don't think it's going away anytime soon. I don't see us changing the Supreme Court to either overturn Citizens United or Buckley v. Valeo. So the money's going to be there. The thing for me is disclosure. Let's find out who's spending this money. Where I've got the problem is the dark money. It's all these cowards who don't have the courage of their convictions and want to hide behind these so-called charitable contributions and then have money that goes get spent and no one knows who's spending it. That's not the American way as I see it. If you want to affect an election, go ahead. Stand behind your money. Don't use some bogus charity to hide your money and hide your involvement with it.
We had a caller, Vince, who said, what's wrong with all the money going to the TV stations? Well, I didn't say there's anything wrong with it. I just said who's making the money, and it's the TV stations.
And the political consultants, the groups that are buying those ads too, they're getting a lot of the money as well.
And Vince's point was, and we've lost Vince, he argued that all the money going to the local TV stations is good for the economy.
That's an interesting trickle-down theory, given that the TV stations are, for the most part, owned by large conglomerations, when it's been proven time and again that the more money that goes to local businesses is actually better for the economy. But that's an interesting argument. I don't know if I buy it, but it's interesting.
You want to comment on that?
No, it's what Jimmy said.
All right. City Council, the never-ending Rio Nuevo story. I think Steve Kasacek put it very well. He said, the whole community, Jimmy Bogle, has Rio Nuevo fatigue. And, of course, he was referring to the latest development in working toward the Rio Nuevo Board and the Tucson City Council actually agreeing on something.
Yeah, and you know, the agreement isn't quite there yet. I'm confident it'll get done, and it's still a debacle. And I'm, but you know, there is some small ray of light here that it's gotten a lot better than the days of Jody Bain and actually Jonathan Payton being on the Rio Nuevo Board when they were doing nothing but swing. At least they're now talking about maybe possibly considering coming to an agreement. And let's face it, we need it. I mean, the Tucson Convention Center is becoming an issue. Its reputation is going down. I know there were some huge, huge concerts that were held at the TCC that, like Wilco is an example. There isn't a hotter band in the country, arguably, than Wilco right now, and they couldn't sell out the TCC because TCC's got such a terrible reputation. It needs to be fixed. You know, Rio Nuevo is not what it used to be, but any money that's there, it needs to go towards fixing our convention center so it doesn't become more decrepit than it already is.
So people love the band, but they just didn't want to come downtown.
It's a weird thing that it's actually the venue is becoming such a negative that certain people are actually just don't want to go there.
You know, one of the encouraging things about Jonathan Rothschild getting elected as mayor is that his background was in arbitration and moderation and solving problems like these. And he had been sitting down – he and the city attorney had been sitting down with members of the Rio Nuevo board, and they hashed out a deal. And the deal was the Rio Nuevo would pay $6 million to renovate the TCC, and the city would give over the money that it's making off one of the parking garages that is that has contested ownership between the city and Rio Nuevo. Sounded like a deal. Goes before the Rio Nuevo board, and they say, oh, yeah, that's a great deal. But let's also get that piece of property that the city wanted to build the arena on. We want that too. And that changed the terms of the agreement, and it ticked off the city council. And so now they're bickering again. It's probably something that can be worked through. The chairman, McCusker, is putting a brave face on it that these are issues that can be worked out. So, I mean, it's even when they do good, they do bad. So I'm hoping that they are still able to make that deal because I thought it was a good deal.
The agreement would also end, Jimmy, two lawsuits the district has against the city totaling $70 million in claims. So on and on it goes.
Yes, and let's hope that ends because, you know, anytime a taxpayer-funded entity is suing another taxpayer-funded entity, that's bad for the taxpayer. For everyone's good, those lawsuits need to end and end now.
Also, the city of Tucson thinking of shutting down the Fred Inc., golf course, the days may be numbered there, Mark Evans. The city – golf has just not been making a lot of money for the city.
Well, golf over the last decade has lost its members. There's just not as many people playing golf. It's not the businessman's league that it used to be, and as a result, they're not getting enough people in the door through the gate to pay for the upkeep. And so most of the golf courses in the city are losing money. There's just a couple of them that are making bucks. And so, you know, this was inevitable. I think the problem, though, is that they want to turn it into a park. Well, the park, I don't think, is going to save them all that much money because you still got to water and mow the grass.
Yeah, it has to be maintained, I would say.
Right, and you've got to turn it into a park. I think they're better off selling it, but the people in those neighborhoods might have an objection to that. So, yeah, they're saving money on the short term. I don't know they're going to be saving all that much money on the long term.
Yeah, something definitely needs to be done about the fact that the golf courses have become a money-losing proposition. The one thing that I'm not so sure about in this is that it's like you alluded to, that it's exactly being done right. I don't think there's a good, clear exit strategy there because these are revenue-producing parts of the city, one of the rare revenue-producing parts of the city. The problem is, of course, like any failing business, revenue is being produced, but more expenses are going out. Well, the fact of the matter is most of the proposals coming forward that I've seen aren't going to fix that. There's still going to be more expense than revenue coming in, and it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out.
I mean, what could they do if they didn't use it as a park? Could the city sell off the land for housing?
You would assume so, yeah. I mean, it's a pretty nice area over there.
And some folks are claiming that with better management, things could possibly turn around. I don't know. I haven't looked into that. I just know certain people out there are saying it. But, you know, that's one of the things that's out there.
There's already a park right next to it.
So this little passive park, as they're calling it, would be next to an existing park.
Right. And it's huge. I mean, it's a golf course. I mean, it's this giant expanse of grass and water.
Can we talk – what in the heck does passive park mean? As opposed to an active park that gets up and walks around?
It would be a natural passive park. Maybe they won't mow the lawn.
So they're
going to
let the grass grow out and the weeds go. Great. That's what we need.
Yeah. 12:46 on the Buckmaster Show. It's our Friday Reporters Roundtable. And TUSD is trying to figure out what they're going to do with – are they going to shutter some more schools? What really is astounding is the number of empty seats, I guess you could call district-wide, that TUSD has lost. Mark Evans, 13,000 empty seats district-wide. The district is facing a $17 million budget deficit for the next school year. And I guess TUSD, the board at this point, just wants to wait till after the election to see who's going to be on the board.
And I think that's what they should be doing. They shouldn't have been trying to solve a problem this enormous in the middle of an election year, because whatever was going to happen, unless all the incumbents win, there was going to be some effort to do something different after the election. And I think they should wait to the election. It's only a couple of weeks. It's not going to make that big of a difference. The issue with the district is they had 12 years ago, I think they had their peak, which was 64,000 students.
I think it was close to 65,000 students.
Yeah, now they have like somewhere around 51,000 students, and the numbers keep falling. And when you get your money from the state is based on per capita, based on per student, a headcount, that's a lot of money that's gone out the door when you've got – still have the buildings and the facilities and the buses that were necessary to haul those 64,000 kids and to teach those 64,000 kids. So they absolutely have to contract. Whether that solves the $17 million hole or not, I don't know. They may also have to do some cost cutting in other ways, like pay cuts and things like that.
And I'm not seeing a lot of long term vision, frankly, from the superintendent or from the board in terms of what they can do to possibly stop this. I mean, this has been a problem that's been – I've been in Tucson 10 years now, and TUSD has been on the decline since I got here. And they've been through several different superintendents and a bunch of different school board members, and I'm not seeing any leadership stepping in to try to make it so that TUSD is more desirable as opposed to some of the other school districts and opposed to charter schools. I'm not seeing that vision from anyone, frankly.
It just seems like it's a district that I don't know, doesn't have a very bright future. I guess that's kind of the bottom line, isn't it, Mark?
I would agree. I mean, I don't see what's going to turn it around. I mean, I know that's what John Petticone's job has been, is to turn it around. But we'll see what happens if there's – if the – you know, what happens at this election. If there's all new board members, then it's going to take them a while to figure out where everything is and the relationship with the superintendent. They're all going to try and flex their muscles based on the things that they've been saying out on the stump the last couple of months. If it's the incumbents back, then it's business as usual, and business as usual has been a divided board that can't seem to make up its mind about what it's doing.
Next Friday on the Friday Focus interview, Chuck Huckleberry will be with us, and we'll be talking with him about this ongoing city county. Not only does the city have an ongoing dispute with Rio Nuevo, the city has an ongoing dispute with Pima County over this new courthouse. That's an issue that just sticks around.
Yeah, the voters approved a bond a few years ago, 2004, to build a combined city-county courthouse. The city's traffic courts, magistrate courts, and the county's justice courts are spread out all over town. The city's is in a building that's falling apart. The elevator is an adventure ride.
So it's got to be done.
So it all has to be fixed. And yeah. So the solution was to all move into this one building, but then they found an old grave site, and it's cost a whole bunch of money to remediate that. And they don't have the money. They're building it. The county went ahead to build it without the... I'm getting the finger here.
You're getting the finger to wrap it up.
Right.
It's messed up.
It's a mess, and I don't think, it's going to be solved anytime soon.
Yeah.
The end.
Thank you. That's our reporters' roundtable.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Everyone is switching to high-efficiency appliances because they have money, and a Culligan high-efficiency water softener does the same. But did you know that you can rent rather than buy? Think about it. No equipment to pay for upfront, money-saving purchase options if you change your mind, and service calls are included in the rental rate. In fact, you'll never have to pay for another water softener, ever. So now you can get all the benefits of soft water for less when you rent from Culligan. Imagine a spot-free home, softer skin, and brighter laundry for dollars a day. Even better, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy, plus helps all your appliances last longer. Let your Culligan man take care of your water when you rent the world's most efficient water softener. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Now in its seventh year, the RTA has finished over 400 projects, including five major roadways. Current projects include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and Grant Road at Oracle. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. With ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service, providing jobs and making travel around our region faster and safer, the RTA is delivering our promise to you.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Of course, that music means the weekend is officially here on the Buckmaster Show. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell. Tucson's culinary cruiser is brought to you by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. Just 3.5 hours east of Tucson to historic Silver City, where they are preparing for the upcoming Saturday, December the 8th, New Mexico Tamale Fiesta in historic downtown Silver City. Great places to stay, including Spirit Canyon Lodge and Casitas de Gila Guest House. More information at southwestnewmexico.org. And here he is, the man himself, from the award-winning Russell Public Communications, which was just awarded one of America's top PR firms. And to really celebrate the occasion, Matt Russell, owner-operator, has broken out a jack-o'-lantern Speedo.
How frightening. How absolutely frightening for your listeners, Bill.
That is really frightening. And then Matt now has a huge decal on the back of his truck with a margarita glass. I guess this man is always ready for a margarita, and so it makes sense you would be at the World Championship Margarita Contest.
Well, I would think, Bill, that a Tucsonan is going to be the one that's going to win tonight. And we say, who has the best margarita in the world? 15 of Tucson's top mixologists are going to be preparing for battle. They're going to go head-to-head this evening at the World Margarita Championship, starting at 6 o'clock tonight down at the beautiful Tucson Museum of Art. All your listeners are going to have the opportunity to taste the entries from all 15 contestants and vote for their favorite. There's going to be a Judge's Choice and People's Choice Awards, and every vote counts, Bill. So plan to take part in this historic moment, enjoy some great food from Tucson Originals restaurants, and help crown the winner of the world's best margarita.
And they'll be the world's largest salt shaker to go along with with that margarita. Anybody in the mood for Peruvian cuisine live from Lima?
I absolutely love it. Dia de la Canción Criolla is an annual festival in Peru that celebrates Peruvian music and folklore and, of course, the food. And Inca's Peruvian cuisine over there on Colvin Sunrise, they're going to be hosting their own version of this festival on Saturday night. There's going to be live music, some delicious Peruvian beer, pisco sours, and authentic Peruvian cuisine, which I think is the best in town, really the best Loma Saltado I've ever had. It's Dia de la Canción Criolla on Saturday night at Inca's. Bill, you ever been to Peru?
I have been to Peru just a few years ago as part of our trip to the Galapagos Islands. So there is good eating out of Lima, Peru. Really good cuisine.
No question.
How about if you're not in the mood for a margarita or one of those pisco sours, what about a glass of wine?
Absolutely. And what better time to have a world-class wine than this weekend? They say it's Coseca time again, and of course Coseca means harvest, and we're smack dab in the middle of harvest time in the Arizona wine country, and our good friends Todd and Kelly Bostock of Dos Cabezas Winery down in Sonoyta, they're going to be celebrating all weekend long, so head down to Dos Cabezas on Saturday and Sunday, and you're going to taste some of the newest releases from the winery, get a behind-the-scenes tour. There's going to be live music and food from Cafe Baratan and a special wine glass for you to keep. Tickets and information are at doscabasiswineworks.com. This is always a fun event.
Matt Russell, congratulations on the big award for Russell Communications. Have a great weekend.
Thanks so much, Bill.
Bottled Water on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan water, it simply tastes better. We love Culligan water. That's the exclusive bottled water, the Buckmaster Show. John C. Scott has his program this afternoon, 4 to 5. Then Monday morning, Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. All the local talk. It doesn't end here during the week. We continue tomorrow morning starting at 7 a.m. with Phil Cedar with the Desert Garden Show. A lot of expert talk on the weekends here on KVOI. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of our team, my producer, the lovely and very talented Rosemary Brandt, I am Bill Buckmaster wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend. We will be back with you on Monday afternoon. We'll get things going with our Monday political face-off. Always a lot of fun. We've got a great week of guests lined up for you. Hope you'll be with us. Have a great weekend. The weather's going to be fantastic. Lots to do. Be safe. Have a great one.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.